Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm Mick Caird, North Dakota Corn Council Studio on a day where I wish it was a little bit warmer. I wish the wind wasn't blowing out of the north about 30 miles an hour. And I wish, it was like Saturday or Sunday, because then we'd have the hope of rain. But our rain has kind of moved on and the temperatures have cooled down. Soil temperatures aren't going to be going anywhere this week. And we're going to be real concerned about dryness and drought conditions again. So, again, we need to follow the protocols that you were going through last week and just kind of continue to keep the cows out of the pasture and continue to pray for rain. That's the major protocol that everybody's going through. Pray for rain and pray for the ones who need it the most. But mainly, it's the forage issues that we are concerned about. And let's visit with Dr. Miranda Meehan, Extension Livestock Environmental Stewardship Specialist. Thanks to the North Dakota Corn Council, who have selected you, Miranda, to be on the radio today.
Hi, Mick.
Hello. Good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you for a long time.
No, you were on vacation last time I was on.
Oh, that's it. All right. Well, gee, I haven't done that for a long time either. So so it has been a while since we've been on. All right. Well, you had a few drought mitigation workshops over the winter, and I guess what kind of feedback did you get from those?
It was really good feedback. We just did a follow-up Navigating Drought webinar series. Our first webinar was last week. It's just an end-of-the-month touch base on drought outlook conditions and in a discussion of strategies that producers should be thinking about moving forward. And you know, a lot of the producers that attended both of those sessions have started, if they didn't have a drought plan, have one in place now. And a lot of people are already making decisions, management decisions related to drought and looking at strategies moving forward.
Yeah, and what you were talking about earlier is don't turn the cows out to the pasture just yet. Before that, what is the gold standard? How tall or how well developed should that grass be before the cows should start clipping on it?
It's going to depend what type of grass you have. So our team grass are planted grasslands, such as our smooth brome grass pastures or crested wheat grass pastures. They can take a little more abuse, and they're also we're able to graze those a little earlier at the three-leaf stage. And so those are the ones we're going to probably start with. And I haven't seen any crested wheatgrass pastures since we don't have a lot of those in the east side of state, but I know that smooth brome grass actually isn't too delayed this year, despite the dry fall. However, when we look at our native rangeland, we want to wait till that gets to the 3.5-leaf stage, and it's behind this year, and it's short. And part of that's because those plants start growing in the fall. They have a tiller that they start, and a lot of those tillers have died, so they're starting growing all over again this spring. And so that's delaying their development. And so I would expect at least a week delay, if not longer. And it's just going to depend on how things were managed last year as well.
Okay. And I would assume that the cool April we had didn't do much for development of some of the, and the dryness mainly might be the biggest factor, not going to do much for the development of our grasses and pastures.
Yeah, the cool weather has definitely played a big factor, because one thing that our grass development starts is based off of growing degree days, just like a lot of our crops. And so with this cool temperatures, it's definitely delayed things a bit, but then warming up to 70 kicks it into gear too.
All right. Well, let's hope that comes next week. This year, I think this week we're looking forward to maybe 60 by the end of the week. So, man, I kind of had a little set. Apparently, as I said earlier, summer was 2 days long, just Saturday and Sunday this year. So let's hope we get back to some warm weather. All right. Well, that's history in the planning stages for spring. But now reality has set in. We got just a hundredth or two or a tenth or two of rain over the weekend. But livestock water quality, I know a lot of the extension agents are telling you that pasture, some of those stock dams and some of the holes that we just dug to get the cows some water, they're not in really good quality.
No. So through the month of April, extension agents across the state monitored did some screenings on livestock water quality source or livestock sources for quality, looking at total dissolved solids, that salt mineral component, and then also sulfates, which is one of the salts that can be toxic. They screened 83 locations, and our threshold for total dissolved solids is we start seeing livestock performance issues above 5,000 parts per million, and there was 10 locations that were above that, and two of those were above 10,000, which is where it can be deadly when we get above that level. And then on the sulfate side, we had 23 sites that we recommended additional testing at, and of those, 9 of those were at levels that were potentially toxic. And so we see livestock health issues with sulfates above 1,000 parts per million, and in a grazing system, when it gets much above 2,000, we can see some pretty big health concerns and loss of livestock. And so we had one site that tested in the western part of the state that was above 8,000 parts per million in sulfates after they submitted that to the lab.
Yeah. Wow. Now, I know a high salt diet, you know, sulfate's not the same as, but it's similar to salt. A high salt diet for humans is not good over time. Why is a high sulfate or totally dissolved solid number that's real high, why is that so fatal so quick to livestock?
So the sulfate specifically, when we get really high levels of both, we have central nervous system disorders that come into play. Sulfate specifically, we can have it can induce a polio in cattle, and so that's the major concern when we get to those high levels.
All right, and again, there's the longer we go with dry, the greater the likelihood that your total dissolved solid or high sulfates are going to be higher. As this drought has expanded through the course of the winter and the spring, it's expanded now to, 83% of North Dakota and about 25% of South Dakota in extreme drought.
Yeah, and with the outlook, it's not looking promising. Hopefully it's wrong, but there's not a lot of moisture out there right now, and the drier things get, the more concentrated those salts get in those water sources.
How about like an artesian well or something that's always flowing? Is that a little less likely to have a high TDS number?
It's really going to depend on the aquifer that source set. We did have a spring-fed site that had one of our highest readings. And so when we get to western North Dakota, some of our aquifers naturally have high salt content, so it's a good thing. It's a good idea to screen your water sources regardless. If you have a well, it's lower risk. We usually, the groundwater locations that we did evaluate, none of those raised a red flag at this time.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the reason I asked you, is that some people with a flowing well or other, I don't need to check mine, but nobody is excused from bad water this year. And later, maybe the blue-green algae problem, usually a problem in August, might be happening earlier this year.
Yeah, I'm anticipating that. And so that's one thing as part of this that the agents are screening that will do visual assessments for blue-green algae as well. And last year we had blooms as early as June. And so with the dry, hot, if we have hot, dry conditions, I would expect to see them around that time, if not earlier.
Okay, Miranda, before we run out of time, only got a minute left. What are the resources available to livestock producers?
So we just put out a publication in conjunction with the North Dakota Department of Agriculture and North Dakota Stockmen's Association with support through Corn Council, and it is available on the NDSU Drought website as well as other places, but it's called the North Dakota Livestock Drought Resources is the name of the publication, and it lists extension publications, assistance programs such as the hay hotline or the drought hotline through the Department of Agriculture, the veterinary diagnostic lab for any feed or water testing, and then also provides information on a lot of those programs through the FSA that have been activated as part of the drought, such as the Livestock Forage Program.
All right. And again, if a producer has any questions, just maybe contact their local extension agent, and the extension agent can get that water quality tested also.
Yes, definitely reach out to your extension agent with any questions regarding water or drought.
Okay, Dr. Miranda Meehan, NDSU Extension Livestock Environmental Stewardship Specialist, thank you for being on the radio today. We'll talk to you again later.
All right, thank you, Mick.
You are welcome.